like we got Batwing by Evil Streaks playing, or the song is about to come to an end. But stay tuned. The Sugar Ray Show coming your way just momentarily.
A rhythm and increase your heartbeat. I set out to write you a song that would carry you on home. That way I could have you when the carnival's long gone. I set out to write you a song, whether it's short, whether it's long, that would make you turn your head and cry for me instead. I set out to write you a song. I wrote you a song. Tell me where you're gone. I set out on the road where St. Christopher did find my salvation of a five and dime. He found it in a novel underneath the shelf aglow with dimming lights of wonder and the prophets whom to know. I set out to write you a song. You a song, hope you won't be long. Now I'm no saint and I wear no promise ring, but one thing I can give you is a melody to sing. And if you want to meet me out along the winding coast, you best know it's your good fortune, cause it's sure a pretty host. I set out to write you a song. I wrote you a song, hope it turns you on. Oh, maybe I miss the train.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Shuki Wright Show here at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Tusri Farm Radio. Glad you can join the show on this Wednesday afternoon. 12 o'clock here until 3 o'clock today on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. 3 hours. That's what we got today. A lot to talk about. And I got a jam-packed show for all of you. I was right about one thing. When I was last on the air on Monday, I may have been ticked off last night by something I saw while watching the Hall of Fame results unveiled on MLB Network, and I'll tell you exactly what that is. And I'm sure you probably can guess, but in case if you still don't know, I'll still tell you anyway. And then not to mention, there's a report out there that Tom Brady's marriage with Giselle could be in peril. I'm a bit annoyed with that, and it represents the absolute worst in journalism. First and foremost, what goes on in someone else's marriage and relationship is none of your damn business. That's number one. Number two, if you're going to report on such a story, make sure you have your sources lined up, because not only does that fall under libel, but that also could fall under, wow, slander. Thirdly, if it's any of your business, which I don't think it is, frankly, do you and I a favor. The man already has enough to deal with. He's got a potential huge decision to make in the next, let's see, under 2 months now? Yeah. So, to the tabloids, which of course, this may fall on deaf ears, but I don't care anyway. Mind your business. But anyway, you can call into the show. Phone lines are open. 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. But we're going to start the show talking about the Baseball Hall of Fame. On Monday, when I was last on the air, I was on the air from 3 to 5 on Monday. In the case if you may have missed the show, totally okay. Go on WMFO.org, go to archives or schedule, and click on the Shukri Writes tab on the schedule. You'll be able to listen to Monday's show. I may mention about Derek Jeter and Larry Walker. And I mentioned that they both should get into the Hall of Fame. And that I made a case providing all of the evidence that both players should be in the Hall of Fame. And as it turns out, the Baseball Writers of America agreed. They absolutely agreed with what I already knew and what I strongly believed in. And then, of course, those who were still saying, how could Larry Walker be a Hall of Famer when he played half of his games at Coors Field? There was that crowd. But nonetheless, congratulations to the class of 2020 Baseball Hall of Fame class that will include Derek Jeter and Larry Walker. Here's the issue that I have. I am 100% for Jeter and Walker getting in. And I'm going to start off the show talking about Derek Jeter. To some, this may seem a bit, you know, asinine or, you know, like minuscule and so forth. But last night, for those who may have witnessed it, Derek Jeter's Hall of Fame announcement on MLB Network, I watched it live. And one thing that stood out to me is I am like sincerely amazed and how this all came about. And the beautiful part about this is that we sit here and we talk about how Derek Jeter should get into the Hall of Fame and so forth. And I really, really do agree with all of that completely. And the amazing part in all of this is this. I got to tell you, how is it that one player who is respected, universally and even beloved, as Derek Jeter was, not get into the Hall of Fame unanimously? And here's the part that really leaves me speechless. Before I get into that, I actually want to replay a clip from last night's live announcement on MLB Network for those that may have missed it. But here's the moment in which both Larry Walker and Derek Jeter were announced live as the class of 2020 inductees into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
With thanks and appreciation to the Baseball Writers Association of America, it is time to reveal the results of the 2020 election. Tonight, we are pleased to announce the addition of two new members to the Baseball Hall of Fame fraternity. Our first electee was a five-tool player respected for his instincts in all phases of the game. Today, Larry Walker becomes the first position player and second Canadian-born member of the National Baseball Hall of Fame. Throughout a distinguished 17-year career, the Pride of Maple Ridge, Canada, recorded a 313 batting average, 400 on-base mark, and a 565 slugging percentage. Larry was a product of the talented Montreal Expos player development system. For a decade, he excelled with the Colorado Rockies, receiving National League Most Valuable Player votes in six of his seasons in Denver. Larry finished with St. Louis, his veteran influence helping the Cardinals to a pair of postseason appearances and a World Series berth in 2004. One of the premier defensive right fielders of his time, Larry finished with 154 outfield assists and was a seven-time Gold Glove recipient. From 1997 through 2001, he recorded four seasons with a batting average of 350 or higher. The National League MVP in 1997, Larry also collected three batting titles, five All-Star selections, and three Silver Slugger Awards. Larry, we look forward to seeing you in Cooperstown. Our second electee defined consistency and leadership during a 20-year career in which each of his teams finished with a winning record. Today, Derek Jeter joins a distinguished list of Yankee greats in taking his rightful place in the Hall of Fame. The captain registered a career 310 batting average along with 544 doubles. He finished with 3,465 hits, including 200 or more in a season on eight occasions. A top of the order table setter who appeared defensively only as a shortstop, Derek ranks 11th all-time in runs scored with 1,923. In addition, he is 6th in hits and 12th in reaching base safely at 4,717. One of the most respected ball players of his generation, he opened his career as the American League Rookie of the Year in 1996. He went on to become a five-time World Series champion, was a 14-time All-Star, and collected five Gold Glove and Silver Slugger Awards. Derek's career is synonymous with October. In his 20 seasons wearing pinstripes, the Yankees appeared in postseason play 16 times, playing in 10 league championship series and 7 World Series. He played the equivalent of a full season with his 158 second season games. Steady throughout, Derek registered a .308 batting average with 200 hits and 111 runs scored. Derek, congratulations and welcome to Cooperstown. We'll see you in July.
All right. So can I ask you, Tim, well done. Derek Jeter's vote total, what's the percentage? Do we have a percentage on that?
I think the writer's going to be releasing that shortly.
We don't know.
It was 396 votes.
396 out of?
397.
Oh, one shy. Of one unanimous. Shy. One shy. So Mariano Rivera last year at 100%. This will be just shy. You can release that. You're the president. Yes. Of the Hall.
That right there is what sent social media into a frenzy. That right there. Number one, on one hand, you have Derek Jeter, and even I, as a lifelong Yankee fan, and I have never shied away from that. I've never shied away from that. Was beyond thrilled and ecstatic that he got in. But on the other hand, I was just like, wait, he missed being voted in unanimously by one vote? Okay. I want to know who was that one voter who didn't vote him in. I want to know. And then, he ultimately decided to remain unanimous because of fear of backlash. Really. You know, I really have a special disdain for those who don't vote for a particular player and don't have the balls to actually show their face or even show who they are. I really do. And I'm going to tell you why. And this is not only as it pertains to Derek Jeter. I want to make that very abundantly clear right now. Part of what I do on radio is that I am asked to form an opinion, to form a take, and so forth. And not only that, have a take, stand by your take. This is what you do in media, written or radio, in TV. You have an opinion, stand by it. Put a face and a name to it. But the fact that this person decided to remain unanimous just told me like, no, 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 no. You're a coward. You're an absolute coward. throwing all fanhood out the window right this moment. You're a coward because you don't have the guts to actually say, you know what? I was the guy who didn't vote in for Jeter. Of course. And then the questions would come, and rightfully so, then why on earth did 396 others of your camaraderie, male and female, saw that he is a surefire Hall of Famer, but yet you did not? Why? Cowardice at its finest. I'm not sorry for what I'm about to say now. You can't call yourself a proud, pristine member of the media, although that's your job title, but yet you have no balls to actually say, you know what? I took an unpopular take, and I'm going to stand by it. I may disagree with you, but I'll actually respect you even more for it. No question. But the fact that you chose to remain unanimous, regardless of who you are, I can't respect you. I can't take your opinion seriously. Take a stand and stand on your own two feet. And then remain firm in your opinion. It may not be popular, but at least take a stand for it. Call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. And that's what I'm going to start the show with. I'm going to focus on the fact that why am I so annoyed and why am I borderline pissed off? When the one individual who decided not to vote Jeter in. Now, as I was telling my bro last night, I said, listen, it would be one thing that if Jeter was voted in 94%, I'll live with that. Fine. All right. There was a handful of those that saw that, oh, his defense or blah, 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 and so forth. Fine. I'll live with that. But how do you explain 396 out of 397? You heard it in the clip. 396 out of 397 voters voted him in. One didn't. And we'll never find out, unfortunately. But I'd like to know, what exactly did you see in Jeter that made you say, nah, he's not a Hall of Famer? I'd like to know. And I'm sure those who are in the media, and especially those who are part of the Baseball Writers Association of America, would love to know as to what's up with that. Why? That's part of the reason why I sit here and I say to myself, good grief. You absolute coward. That's just cowardice. And the one thing I will say is this, and again, the first hour, I want to put this out there now. We're going to spend the first hour talking about the Hall of Fame announcement, you know, and obviously it's just spent the first 15, 16 minutes talking about the Hall of Fame announcement, and as well as the one person as to why they did not vote for Jeter into the Hall of Fame. But then also, talk about my disdain as I just did just now, but it's just like, wow. Unbelievable. I'm telling you. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. What you could have, I mean, just wow. Jeter, this is for you.
Now batting for the New York Yankees, the shortstop, number 2, Derek Jeter.
Let's try that again, because that didn't go as well as I thought it would. Hold on.
Now batting for the New York Yankees, the shortstop, number 2, Derek Jeter.
That was the late Yankee public address announcer Bob Shepard when he used to announce Jeter was coming up to at bat at the old Yankee Stadium. And I tell you, I'm not normally one who would be just all negative Willy Billy, but this was too big of a firestorm not to discuss. And frankly, it's really a shame. It really is a shame. It's awfully hard to understand and believe as to why that person did not vote him into the Hall of Fame. But enough about that. Coming up next, I actually want to get into more of a pleasant discussion here. I want to talk about Larry Walker during the next segment, because for those that say he played his games at Coors Field, he wasn't a Hall of Famer, I got news for you. He's a Hall of Famer now, whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not. And here's that. So, when we return, we're going to talk about Larry Walker's induction to the Hall of Fame. Plus, later in the show, we're going to touch on Bruins and some Celtics talk as well. I promise. You have my word. So that's gonna be real good stuff. So stay tuned for that. That and much more coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show here at 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Feel free to call in the show. Phone lines are open. 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. We'll be back in just a bit. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show. And this is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tubbs Free Form Radio. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show here at 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusfee Farm Radio. Streaming, as always, on the TuneIn Radio app. Call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. We are going to pause quickly during this hour. Got to take care of some station mandatory policies on the air. First, we're going to do the station identification. This is 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford.
Hey, this is Scruffy Wallace, the Dropkick Murphys, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
And coming up next is the PSA for the 12 o'clock hour of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO.
There's something very dangerous in your home. It could be hiding in a closet or waiting in the basement. It's not sharp or toxic or flammable, yet it helps send more people to the trauma center than any other household item.
Hey, hon, do me a favor and hold the ladder for me.
I have a better idea. Let's just call somebody to clean the gutters.
To scoop out a few leaves? I'll be down in a heartbeat. Whoa! Ow!
No!
Using a ladder might seem easy. Misusing one is even easier. Ask any of the 150,000 people who fell off their ladders into the trauma center last year alone. Don't let a do-it-yourself project do yourself in. For tips on ladder safety, visit orthoinfo.org, a public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who want to keep your bones safe, strong, and well-connected.
And that PSA was brought to you by yours truly at 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Now, we're going to continue with the Hall of Fame discussion during this hour. We're going to talk about Larry Walker during this segment. And when I talked about him on Monday, one thing that I made mention, and I brought up his numbers, and I talked about he wasn't just a hitting machine, but he was a darn good defensive outfielder as well, having led the National League in outfield assists three times during his playing career in Colorado. And you know, the one thing that really amazed me is that early in the day yesterday, he sent out a tweet that I actually thought, don't you think it's a little bit premature to say something like that? It was one of those classic instances where the tweet did not age well. And this was one of those that it was just funny now looking back on it, because I'm just like, you sure? You sure? Don't doubt what God possibly may have in store for you. This was the tweet that he sent out yesterday at 1:41 p.m. Now, check this out. You're going to find this funny as hell. I promise. Watch. So, 1:41 yesterday afternoon, he tweets out, quote, "Although I believe I'm going to come up a little short today, I still want to thank all of you that have been pulling for me and showing your support. I'm grateful for all of you. It's been fun leading up to today, reading everyone's thoughts. Cheers." With the two bear jugs. LW, Larry Walker. That's his initials. That was at 1:41 yesterday. And I'm telling you, what's funny now is that as I was watching the coverage leading up to the announcement yesterday, MLB Network showed that very tweet. It was like, come on, man, show some faith. And it's great to see that, you know, he finally got the recognition that he deserved. And I hope that perhaps, and I mean just perhaps, that maybe it leads to another Colorado Rocky all-time great. Maybe, just maybe, getting in one day. And I'm talking about one Todd Helton. But we'll see. But as for Walker, This was a guy who absolutely was just incredible. He was incredible to watch. He was incredible just being able to really understand what he was able to do and what he was able to accomplish and so forth. I mean, we talk about the three batting titles and wish that, but he played in Coors Field. But the thing is, the truth of the matter is that he was a great hitter wherever he was. You don't win batting titles by just simply raking at home and being an absolute anomaly on the road. You just don't. So, with that being said, he won three batting titles. 1998, 1999, and 2001. 98, he batted 363. 99, he batted 379. And in 2001, he batted 350. And the beautiful thing about it is you talk about watching him hit and his ability to hit for average, as clearly demonstrated in his career 313 batting average. But then also you talk about the fact that he won an MVP in 1997. And you go back and you look at his MVP season, you can't help but even admit that no. This was pretty darn terrific. In his MVP season, he hit 366, 49 homers and 130 runs batted in. And I mean, for a guy who already had shown signs of his ability to be able to hit for power and average, there was very little doubt about a guy who shown throughout his career that he wasn't just an offensive player. Man, he can field. He can field. And I tell you something. It really does say something. And you know, although it's a shame that at times I feel like his defense gets overlooked. But I'm going to hammer home a point that I made on Monday's show, in which I said that there was a time in the National League in terms of preeminent right fielders. I'm talking about right fielders. There was two that immediately came to mind, in my opinion. That was Larry Walker. That was Vladimir Guerrero. Gary Sheffield was good. He was very good. Don't get me wrong. So were a lot of the other guys as well, who played outfield during that same era that Vladimir Guerrero and Larry Walker were in the National League. But Larry Walker was a guy in which he showed time and time and time again that he was a terrific defensive outfielder. Absolutely terrific. And here's a kicker. Here's a kicker. In 1997, in his MVP season, he was first in the National League in fielding percentage. For those that love numbers and love guys who can field with the glove, and I'm not getting into the whole sabermetrics because I'm from the old school and wish that I'm a numbers guy, but I'm also a guy who looks at his ability to field. Can he field with the glove? Can he get runners out on the base paths? And he led the league, the National League, in assist as a right fielder three times, 92, 95, and 2002. And in his career, he had 150 outfield assists as a right fielder. That tells you something. 150, which is 18th all time. what does that tell you? As good as his bat was, you can make an argument that he may have been an even better defensive right fielder. But people have this tendency when they look at, when they think of Larry Walker, and for understandable reasons, don't get it twisted, I know, they think offense. And that's understandable, completely. I mean, after all, he was part of the Blake Street Bombers and of that 1995 Colorado Rockies team. Remember that team that had Andreas Galarraga? Huh? That also had Larry Walker on that team? You know, it's so easy to forget that that team was an offensive juggernaut. Like, I mean, it was just amazing. And don't forget, and I, you know, excuse me for forgetting that Dante Bichetti and Vinny Castillo were also on that team. So we think of Larry Walker as being this offensive machine, and he was. He was. Especially in 1995 for a Rockies team that had four guys who were all-world sluggers in their own right. Andreas Galarraga, Dante Bichetti, Larry Walker, and Vinny Castillo. Those four guys, forever, if you are a true hardcore baseball fan, it immediately come to mind. But like I said, Larry Walker should be remembered for much more than just his bat. The man can hit, but his defense, unbelievable in right field. Unbelievable defense in right field. You can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. What are your thoughts on the 2020 Hall of Fame class? What are your thoughts? I'd love to hear from you. Whether if you're at walk or you are, you know, on lunch break listening to the show and so forth, feel free to call in. Hit me up on Twitter at Shukri Wright, as at S-H-U-K-R-I, Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T-S, all one word on Twitter. Hit me up on Twitter as well. So, with all of that being said, there's something interesting that I came across yesterday as it relates to the Baseball Hall of Fame. And next year's class is going to be absolutely interesting, because next year's class is not a very strong class. If you look at the guys who didn't make it this year, and if the guys who will be eligible to make it in next year, the interesting part about is that it will be fascinating to see guys like Curt Schilling, Roger Clemens, and Barry Bonds get into the Hall of Fame next year. Only time will tell. But it's interesting, because I actually have a lot of thoughts on Curt Schilling, and I'm actually going to share with you what they are in the next segment. Especially Red Sox fans, you're going to want to pay attention to this. So keep it locked here for the next segment, where I'm going to talk about Curt Schilling, because there is something that needs to be said, and that I'm actually eager to share with you what my thoughts are. So keep it locked in right here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Coming up next, Curt Schilling. Does he get in 2021? Your guess is as good as mine. I'm going to share with you my thoughts coming up next, right after this break, on the Shukri Wright Show. I'm going to play a little Temptations for all of you guys who love the Temptations. got a Temptations song rolled up my sleeves for you today. So it's going to be good. Call into the show at 855-915-WMFO. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts, Freeform Radio.
It was the 3rd of September, that day I'll always remember. Yes, I will, 'cause there was the day that my daddy died.
nothing but bad things about him. Mama, I'm depending on you. Tell me the truth. Mama just hung her head and said, son, Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
And when he died,
all he left us was alone. Oh, Papa was a rolling stone, my son, yeah. Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
And when he died,
all he left us was alone. What you say that Papa never worked a day in his life?
And Mama, some bad talk going around town saying that Papa had 3 outside children and another wife. And that ain't right.
Heard some talk about Papa doing some storefront preaching, talking about saving souls and all the time leeching.
Dealing in debt and stealing in the name of the Lord. Mama, just hold your head and say,
Papa was a rolling stone,
my son.
Wherever he laid his hat was his home. And when he died,
all he left was alone. Hey,
Papa was a rolling stone.
That comet.
Wherever he laid his hat was his home.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. That is the Temptations. Papa was a Rolling Stone. here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. Now, as we approach the 1 o'clock hour, hour number 2 of the show coming up shortly, I just want to take the time to discuss a couple of notes in regards to the show itself. I'll be back on tomorrow morning, pardon me, at 9 a.m. tomorrow, 3-hour show, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. I'll be on the airwaves right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, as well as streaming live across the country on the TuneIn radio app, and as well as worldwide on WMFO.org. Two, I'll also be on the air Friday afternoon from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. as well on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, streaming on the TuneIn radio app and globally on WMFO.org. And Saturday, the regularly scheduled show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. as well. So I'll be on the airwaves the next 3 days. Got a lot to talk about. I'm here with you today until 3 o'clock. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm pumped to be here. And tomorrow's show is going to be pretty terrific. We'll have a lot to get into. And I'm looking forward to discussing what's next in terms of Major League Baseball moving forward as we get closer to spring training and so forth. So again, I'll be reminding those at basically near the top of the hour from now to the through the end of the show. And again, I'll be on the air again tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Friday, as well as I would say, yeah, from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. as well. Saturday, I'll be on the air from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. That is my regular slot time. So keep it here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, for the latest in sports as well as but primarily in Boston sports as well. So with that being said, call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I have some thoughts on Curt Schilling, because yesterday, as it was revealed, he came just short of making it to the Hall of Fame. He received 70% of the votes. And it's interesting how with each passing year, he's getting closer to his induction. And he only has two more chances of cracking the necessary 75% mark, and in which that he's going in the right direction in terms of the results. In 2016, he received 52.3% of the votes. 2017, he dropped to 45% of the votes. And last year, he made it to, was it last year?